A reading from Jeremiah chapter 23. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely, and this is the name by which he will be called: The Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, As the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but, As the Lord lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country, and out of all the countries where he had driven them. Then they shall dwell in their own land. In the holy name of Jesus, Amen. Today marks the first Sunday in Advent, a fresh start to the new church year. As we transition into a new church year, we remember what Advent teaches us, that Christ is coming. Advent literally means coming, but we specifically remember the coming of Jesus, our King. Not only does this season bring to remembrance why Jesus had a first coming, coming in the form of an infant born of the Virgin Mary, but we also remember that Jesus has promised that he will come again to judge the living and the dead, and to bring his faithful remnant, his faithful church, into his kingdom which has no end. This kingdom is dominated not by power, pride, and self-idolatry, but this kingdom is dominated by love, humility, and proper worship. Because the King who sits on the throne and reigns in this kingdom is righteous. He is just. He is a breath of fresh air for the faithful remnant when the smog of sin from the unrighteous suffocates all godliness. The name of this King? Jeremiah 23 verse 6 identifies this King as the Lord is our righteousness. This King comes from the line of David, who bears God's covenant promise of having an eternal King on the throne. He is a King from a long line of kings, though the lineage of this righteous branch contains a whole host of unrighteous kings. These previous kings hated God, hated his righteousness, hated his teachings, hated justice, but they sure loved to bend the rules. They love to invent new ways of worship, soiling perfect worship with love of self-thinking. They thought they understood God's commandments and ways. Instead, they revealed that the belief of the heart and mind didn't match the actions of their hands and feet. They exalted child sacrifices and praised unrighteousness, not only in terms of an unholy people worshiping a holy God, but they also love to oppress and push down righteous folk, like widows, orphans, and the sojourner. These wicked kings are the ones Jeremiah prophesies against. Before the exile to Babylon, the Israelites felt indestructible. They were God's people, after all. Since they had the temple in their capital city, Jerusalem, they thought God was on their side no matter what. Their pride and arrogance led to a lack of trust in God's righteousness, and they inaccurately figured they had true righteousness within themselves. Though they had it all wrong, God's chosen people at that time sinned against God's commandments, worshipped false gods, and treated Yahweh as a good luck charm. True righteousness had been forgotten. Justice was non-existent. No one celebrated what was good. Instead, evil and disorder were celebrated. Injustice was the norm. False worship became navel-gazing, allowing room for oneself to bend God's word to man's desires, instead of hearing God's word with a willing and faithful heart. But in comes the promise of God, which is our hope. Jeremiah prophesies, Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall establish justice and righteousness in the land. This King, whose very nature is true righteousness, comes in the person of Jesus. Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem in our gospel lesson to reestablish justice and righteousness, not just for Jerusalem, but for the whole world, preserving the remnant to be a light unto the nations. His kingdom is established not by beating down all who contribute to injustices and unrighteousness, by riding into Jerusalem on a war horse looking to forcefully overthrow Rome. Rather, his kingdom is established by suffering God's wrath and justice, by having the sins, injustices, and unrighteousness of evil kings, evil nations, and evil people imputed upon himself, while preserving his faithful remnant with his name. Jeremiah 23:6 gives this king a name. He himself is called the Lord is our righteousness. But our king is not satisfied with just his nature and essence being righteous. He isn't satisfied until he shares his name, his nature, his essence. Jeremiah 33:16 says, "This is the name by which she will be called. The Lord is our righteousness." Who was the she mentioned in Jeremiah 33:16, just 10 chapters after our text? The she is God's bride, the church. Not because she is holy in and of herself, but because this king has given her his name. His name is her name. She receives his name, and thus she receives everything he is. Though she is unrighteous, she becomes righteous, because true righteousness has been given to her. Now, American Christianity doesn't typically have a high regard for the church. Typically, most see the church and worship as a functional institute and practice made by man. Many don't see church and worship as a divinely commanded thing put together by God to give you forgiveness, to give you peace, to give you rest, centered around the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus. But in the Lutheran Church, we recognize the dignity and holiness the Church has. Not because the Church itself is holy, but because the God of the entire universe has a divine passion for her bride and gives everything he is to her. That's what Jeremiah 33:16 teaches us. We witnessed this in practice last week in the baptismal liturgy. We ask that God would keep the newly baptized Roe family safe in the ark of God's holy church. The church dwells in safety, again, not because she is holy in and of herself, not because the individual members which make up the church are holy, not because the church has defeated any enemies herself, but because she dwells in safety through the righteousness of Christ, through the holiness and glory of her King, her bridegroom, her Savior, who defeats all her greatest enemies, which are sin, death, and the devil on the cross. And now she can live in righteousness and justice, holiness and godliness, peace and security, all because she lives under the reign of her King, whose passionate, self-giving love for repentant sinners has given her eternal life worth living. This is your coming, King. He seeks to give the church his name. The Lord promises to keep you safe in the ark of his holy church, receiving your righteousness from this altar, and justice for your sins being paid for in the self-sacrifice of this King. Through this, the King brings you into his promised eternal life without end. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.